Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 13th of January, 2018. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul is starting a new series looking at Just Like Jesus, and he's starting with A Loving Heart. The readings are John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. They'll be read by Sheila and Paul, and then Paul will start the sermon.
Reading from John 3. Verses 1 to 21. Now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." This is the word of the Lord.
Following on from that reading, we read from the book of Ephesians, from chapter 1, from verses 18 to 23. "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently..." Oh, that would be wrong if I... Sorry, I read Ephesians chapter 2. I do apologize. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 begins. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." May the Lord add his own understanding to the reading from readings from his word. Friends, this week we begin a series of 4 weeks when we are looking at the heart of Jesus. It's a series based upon the Max Lucado book, Just Like Jesus, as we said before. Just Like Jesus, learning to have a heart that's like his. Whilst you can certainly follow this coming 4 weeks without the book, please, I encourage you, if you're able to get hold of a copy of the book, to read it. It's one of those books that challenges us in very many different ways. And then it's true to say that there'll be some house group notes which will be sent to the house group leaders this afternoon, each week for the next 4 weeks on this book, based upon both book and what's said on Sunday. So if you can, if you wish to engage, friends, come see me. If you don't go to a house group but you want to engage, please come and find me. As we heard from the scriptures, both from John's gospel and Paul's letter to the Ephesians, surely we can be in no doubt as to how passionate and loving our Lord is. Dramatic passion, awesome love. Here's the good news this morning, friends. He loves you. Or to put it another way, Jesus has a loving heart for you. It doesn't matter how much you've goofed, how bad you think you are, Jesus loves you just as you are. Those famous words from probably the most famous verse in the Bible tell us that. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Well, we can go no further, do we? For God so loved the world. Not God so loves all who meet his standards. Not God loves those who know him and accept him as Lord and Savior. Not God so loved the world for what it could become. Not God loves you for what you might be. Simply, purely, cleanly, God so loved you, the world. He loves you. I once went to church and heard someone say that and learned a lesson. I pray you don't do what I did. I quite literally started counting the bricks on the wall. And then I realized something, friends. I was the one that needed to hear that message of love once again. And so since there are no bricks on the wall, if this morning you decide you want to count the chairs, then can I remind you, you're the one that needs to engage with the message. God loves you. And if you reject him that much this morning, to not be bothered, it doesn't matter to the fact that God still loves you. It's amazing, awesome love. And he decided, because he loves you this much, that he would do something about your broken relationship with him. He sent his son Jesus to show how much he loves. That's awesome fact. Awesome, amazing fact. But more than that, though God loves us exactly the way we are, the real cool news, he's not prepared to leave us as we are. So you may be perfect. I'm looking out there and you are all, in the words of Mary Poppins, practically perfect already. But I know the mess of my own life. And I venture to suggest you know the mess of yours. And our Lord was not prepared to let us stew in our own mess. Impossible though this may sound, he wants us little by little to become like him. He lives in us in the presence of his Holy Spirit, and he wants to change us so that we will grow to know him more deeply than we've ever done before. This morning, friends, Jesus' loving heart calls you to deepen your relationship with him. It's a journey from the rags of sin to the riches of holiness. Isn't that what Paul describes when he says in Ephesians 1, 18 to 19, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may be able to know Sorry, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Someone once put it this way to me. Paul, the challenge with you, my friend, they were very direct. The challenge with you is that you so often, you believe that you're getting all that there is when you're scrabbling around for the scraps that fall off the table. And yet Jesus has invited you to the banquet. I love that. For me, that analogy works. And I do that because so often I concentrate on what I'm like rather than who he is. And that, actually, that rhythm works. Because God wants us, wants you to have a loving heart just like Jesus. And that requires you, me, to accept that he wants to change us, renew us. And I suspect, friends, you're like me. From time to time, you need that reminder. Now, one of the travesties of life, I am told, is absolutely true of the last few years. If you Google this, you'll find this, is that the Great British Bake Off moved from BBC to Channel 4. If you're a Bake Off fan, I'm not sure. I'm going to go, uh-huh. Some people are nodding. Yes, well, they obviously are Bake Off fans. But I know one phrase from Bake Off. I've never seen it, but I do know one phrase, and it's a bit like this. I think if Mary Berry were here, she might say that we need refining by the Lord, more time in his oven, because unless we spend that time, we're going to get soggy bottoms. Now, I'm told that's a good reference if you're a Bake Off fan. Is that correct, Sue? If you're not a Bake Off fan, don't worry. Let it pass you by. The truth is, we need time in the Lord's oven. We need time being refined and molded and kind of baked by him. We need to let him do his work. There is amazing news here for you, friends. Here it is. God's love never ceases. Never. Though we spurn him, ignore him, reject him, despise him, disobey him, he does not, will not change. Our evil cannot diminish our love, his love rather. Our goodness cannot increase it. Our faith doesn't earn it any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God's doesn't love us less if we fail or more if we succeed. God's love never ceases. That's amazing. If you think of that one statement that comes from that book, actually, but if you think of that one statement, that's stunning. It's not as if God does not love you as you are. He simply refuses to leave you where you are because he has, my friends, for all of us individually, ambitious plans. And he has ambitious plans for this church too. Because he loves Minehead Baptist Church. I know that because he loves you. And the love of Jesus runs deep, doesn't it? If we do as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, and fix our eyes on him. I pray that this morning, friends, you understand that a little. That we understand that we should focus on our Lord. Amazing, awesome, holy God. One of the realities, my friends, is this. Even though, my friends, Judas betrayed Jesus, Christ washed his feet. John chapter 13 reminds us that on the night he was betrayed, even knowing what Judas was about to do, Jesus washed his feet. It's stunning, really, isn't it? See, let's be honest. Put me in that same conditions. I love that picture. Put me in that same conditions. Now you can count the bricks if you're really that worried. Put me in that same position. Give me the same conditions. If it was me, I think I'd have turned to the disciples, put them in one corner, let them know that although we probably had to do this, the act of feet washing, that is to say, that I wasn't pleased with having to do it at all. Maybe I'd tell them it's unfair. Even more so when I consider what this person's done to me or what they're about to do to me. I'd try and avoid them. What about you? Try my best to get around the problem. Try and make sure I really didn't have to wash their feet. Maybe I'd spend 5 minutes washing every disciple's feet, and when I got to Judas, spend 2 minutes and make my point that way. I'd make my point. In other words, how often do you and I choose the path, not of love, but of one-upmanship, of our way? And God wants to change your heart. He wants to give you the loving heart that Jesus has, to take, in essence, what is in there and take out the old and put on the new. And that, friends, is what Paul is talking about. As he says in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, you were taught with regards to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to make new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Awesome words. Did you notice the order of things? You've got to take off the old to put on the new. Now let me tell you, someone told me that Minehead has more sun than any other English tourist town. Is that right? Well, let's imagine it does. It's a bright, hot, sunny day. And we go out into the streets and we serve the people of Minehead. And we come home and we need a bath. We've got hot and sweaty. And we think, actually, do you know what? I need new clothes. But I can't be bothered to take off the old ones. I'll just put new ones on over the top. And we go out the following day into the streets of Minehead, and it's a hot day. And we come back and we're in need of a bath and we're sweaty. And we think, I can't be bothered to take off the old. I'll simply put on the new. And that happens every day for a fortnight. My question to you is, can you imagine, use your imagination just for one moment to think about what might be happening now to the original pair of socks you put on? Actually, friends, even if we don't like to think of it this way, if we want to put on the new, we must take off the old. And at some stage, if we just keep ploughing on the new, we will have to deal with the old. Can you see, actually? The call here is to let go of the old, to put on the new. Today is a wonderful opportunity under God, I would argue, for you to take off the old and put on the new, to let him change your heart, to move your heart to be more of a heart of love. In a while we worship, there will be some space for you to respond to a loving God who longs to change your heart to a heart of love. Last week we talked about leaving by a different route, and I know for several of you who have very generously shared with me this week, that was something that the Lord spoke to you in. I would like to say to all of the church, today is the first practical thing you can do to leave by a different route. Take off the old, put on the new. God's love never ceases, never. Though we spurn him, ignore him, reject him and despise him, he will not change. Our evil doesn't diminish his love. Our goodness cannot increase it. Our faith doesn't earn it any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God doesn't love us less if we fail or more if we succeed. God's love never ceases. And yes, you've heard me say that 3 times now. Amen, brother. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I pray that you would leave with God's loving heart. Oh, there's one more thing, friends. Here's the deal, okay? I hope you're sitting comfortably for this, because some of you, this is going to be a real shock. Whether you like it or not, or for that matter, whether I like it or not, we're stuck with each other. You're stuck with me. You don't sound best pleased, but the reality is, you are. It's a bit like being stuck in a lift with someone, you know? And we've got to get on, friends. However, our experience need not be like this chap. His name is Kenny Wheeler. He lives in Swindon, and he was interviewed for the BBC. They did a series on being stuck. This is what he said. These are his words. I was stuck once in a lift at my place of work, a local college. It must have been for around 35 to 40 minutes. After pressing the alarm button several times, I came to the conclusion that no one was going to answer and no one was in a hurry to see what my problem was. So I had a very clever 21st century solution. I updated my Facebook status to let my friends know to ring the college and tell them I was stuck in the lift. It's really clever, isn't it? How clever is that? What's not so clever is what happened. 10 people liked my status before, thankfully, one person who I work with contacted the lift company and I was freed. See, us being stuck together, bless you. See, us being stuck together is not about whether we like each other. Rather, it's about the fact that we're all suffering from what research has told me, and I have discovered a brand new disease, friends. It's called stuckititis. Now, stuckititis only happens to people who will breathe in. Are you breathing? It's probably happening to you then. And it only happens sometimes, indeed often several times during our lives between birth and death. And it manifests itself in irritability, short fuses, and the ability to turn molehills into mountains. The main symptoms include asking questions beginning with who, what, and why. Such as, who do they think they are? What on earth do they think they're doing? And why don't they listen to me? I know best. I have to confess, since we're stuck on this journey together now, that I sometimes get stuckititis. In fact, I've had it several times in my life. And however much I hear that story and ponder about the modern culture where 10 people like the status of someone stuck in a lift before anyone does anything about it, I also realize that if this was someone who I had a problem with, I too might have chuckled as I liked their status in the first place rather than reaching out and helping them. But we are called to be church together, friends. And we are called to help rather than simply to like the stuck nature that some of us can get into. Friends, the good news is that I found a cure for stuckititis. All we need is the heart of Jesus Christ to forgive. See, for me, what helps if we get stuck in that lift together is not the attitude that lets the shoulders shrink back and the mind that wanders at long last, if I can be vindicated. But rather what helps me is an attitude, a heart of forgiveness. And yes, I know I'm mixing my metaphors, but I also know you know what I mean. Because we could all do with letting God change our hearts so that we're more like Jesus. So that our heart becomes more forgiving and less condemnatory. And if you think that you need learn no more about forgiveness anymore, can you come and see me after the service and teach me how to forgive? In the passage we read, John 3:17 says, whoops, other way around. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. At the heart of God is forgiveness. Otherwise, why send Jesus? And Jesus has that same heart of forgiveness. His call to each of us, to this church, friends, is that we let our hearts be changed so that we forgive as he forgives. Or Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And just in case we think Jesus holds us to a higher standard than he holds himself to, as he is washing the feet of his betrayer, the feet of the one who will stand in Caiaphas' court, as he's washing the feet of his disciples who'll bury their heads and all run away and all disown him. He's washing their feet, knowing what's going to happen. And I wonder if Peter, as the cock crows for the third time, does what I would do, which is to look down and see my clean feet and remember. It was while he was washing Jesus's feet, the disciples' feet, that Jesus says, according to John 13:17, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." It's an amazing, awesome picture. Remarkable. He forgave their sins before they even committed them. He offered mercy before they sought it. And some of you will say to me, "Oh, I could never do that." You object. The hurt is too deep. The wounds too numerous. Just seeing that person makes me cringe. Perhaps that's your problem, friends. You're concentrating too much on the wrong person. Yourself. For a moment, I invite you, precious moment, to fix your eyes on the one who saved you. The one who longs to change your heart. Who calls you to forgive as he forgives, to change your heart to his heart of forgiveness. The way we are as church, the relationships we share with each other, our ability to reach out to this community, will not thrive because the guilty are punished, but rather because the innocent are merciful. If we want this town to know Jesus, we had better start by forgiving each other. It's that kind of powerful relationship that shines out to the world, that makes our community sit up and take notice, that shows we're prepared to be radical, countercultural, dynamic Christians who live to reflect to the world the one that gave his one and only son. My question, my friends, is do you want to be a part of that church? Do you want that heart of forgiveness? Because Jesus has a heart full of forgiveness and he longs to change your heart into a heart of forgiveness too. Do you know, forgiveness is a powerful thing. So powerful that it changes things dramatically and forever. And I could warble on and on and on and on, try and persuade you of its power, argue from Scripture, plead with you. But nothing is more powerful than seeing what happens when someone forgives. So here, friends, here is what happens. Here is a real live news report about how powerful the reality of forgiveness really is.
We end tonight with one of the most potent powers on earth. It can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me.
He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20 and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you? I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close. They are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son. But the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself. And I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
That's the power of forgiveness. That's the heart of forgiveness you and I are called to. Let's pray.
Lord, for me personally, I pray for my friends that they will too would add their amen as I say, come and change my heart into your loving heart. Come, Lord, have your way with my life. Let me forgive as you forgive. I long, Lord, to be just like you. And I know that means I have to change. But this morning, Lord, in the company of my friends, I say, change me. Change my heart. Friends, if that's your prayer too, in a moment, I'm going to just simply say amen. And I invite you to say amen with me. But I also want to say, if that's your prayer and you've prayed that this morning, the Lord will be honest and true and take you at your word, and he will change you. And yes, he may ask you to forgive even folk here who have hurt you. He may ask you to even love the unlovable. But he will not leave you in the stew. So Lord, for me, I bring my prayer before you and say, have your way with me to your honor and glory through the name of your Son, my precious Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.